I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, July 28, 2014. As is our tradition, I'd like to invite anyone in attendance to join Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is the approval of the regular session minutes of July 14th. Any corrections or additions? And we have a motion by Councilmember Lynch to approve the regular session minutes of July 14th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Let the record show that the motion passed 4-0 with Councilmember Hall absent. Next is the approval of the executive session minutes for Mayor and Council on July 14th. We have a motion by Councilmember Lynch to approve the executive session minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion also passes 4-0. The reason for the executive session was to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials whom over the Mayor and Council has jurisdiction. And also any other personnel matter that affects one or more specific individuals, to consult with our council to obtain legal advice on a legal matter, and consult with staff, consultants, or other individuals about pending or potential litigation. Great. Now, for item two, we have a request for one of our most popular and long-standing events, the Berlin Fiddlers Convention. And although we all know you, if you'll state your name and who you're representing.
Tom Schultes, representing the Berlin Chamber, to go over the Fiddlers Convention request forms and closures, stuff like that. There are no new changes this year for the Fiddlers. It's been such success. We're going to continue the way it's been and hopefully grow it more this year.
In case you're taking the attitude that it's not broken.
If it's not broken, we're not going to. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a good motto. We're going to stick with it. It's done as well so far.
And this is the same request as last year?
It is, yes. Exact same request as last year.
And we have a motion to approve the approval for the Berlin Fiddlers Convention Friday through Sunday, September 19th, 2015, this fall. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
We'll pray for good weather.
Yes.
Next is a letter of support, which I have written, and I'm going to be asking the council's support for the letter. But the only way to make sense out of that is all this, because this has all been going on since the last meeting. And I'm going to start, and I have copies of each of these documents for, let me pass them out first. Whatever you have left over, just give it to Laura.
Oh, you can hold on to whatever's left over.
Okay, that's the first. And I'll go explain all this in just a second. So I'm trying to do it. I want to present all this in chronological order so that you all will hear everything in the same manner and the same order that we did. And this is the third piece of correspondence.
Okay.
Now, what I'm going to do first, I'm going to read an email that was sent to Laura Allen, our Berlin Town Administrator, by David T. Lewis. He is the Berlin Fire Chief. This email was sent on Thursday, July 17th. The email was addressed to Mr. Fred Webster, who's the head of emergency services for Worcester County, and a copy was sent to Laura. This is Fred. As you're aware of the fire siren issue going on within Berlin, the chiefs of the Berlin Fire Company met earlier today and decided we would like the fire siren to only blow during the hours of 0700 and 2200 hours every day, which is basically 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Is this something that you can accommodate at Central? The reason for this being that during the day, the fire siren alerts the citizens, members, and visitors of the town, as well as the Berlin Fire Company members. Berlin, now being America's coolest small town, has drawn attention from people who travel from all over to visit and stay within the town. It seems that the siren blowing at night is causing an unpleasant experience for the guests that may not be accustomed to a fire siren, and therefore not blowing it at night from, again, 10 p.m. until 7 a.m. the next morning would solve this problem. Berlin Fire Company, as well as the town of Berlin, finds a need for the fire siren during the day. We are planning on working with the town of Berlin to make some sort of a public service announcement to educate the public about the fire siren and the way it alerts. Apparently, over time, as we'll all find out, different sequences of sounding the siren mean different things. The town of Berlin is aware that it is necessary as a civil defense to alert the community. We chose to not blow it during certain hours to prevent the issues that our neighboring department, Ocean Pines, has from not blowing it at all, it being the siren, but only when the county tests it. They advised that the majority of the time it does not even alert or it gets stuck. By us continuing to blow the siren during the day, we are able to pinpoint and isolate an issue to prevent this and still allow it to alert the public, which Ocean Pines cannot. So Ocean Pines, they don't use the siren yet. There's one in the community, but it's, I don't know, for many years it's not been used. So then this afternoon, our town administrator, Laura Allen, received I think it was hand delivered.
No, it was
emailed. Email. Okay. It's a PDF letter, so it's, you know, we got the, you know, it's the original letter with signature and so forth. Dated today, it says, "Dear Mrs. Allen, this is to confirm our conversation this morning regarding an agenda item for tonight's mayor and council meeting. Fire company membership passed a motion at our last meeting on July 14th. 2014 to review the fire siren operations and bring forth a recommendation to the members regarding fire sirens at the next regularly scheduled meeting on August 11th, 2014. As you are aware, the fire company membership gave the town permission to relocate the fire siren behind town hall to another taller pole along one of the side streets near the town office. Since that decision, an electrical malfunction occurred and the fire siren and the siren activated for a period of time over the July 4 holiday, which has caused the sirens to be a discussion topic in the community. Fire company members and officers are investigating many options regarding the sirens, which have been in the service for many years and still service certain purposes. These include notifying volunteers of a call, notifying residents and visitors to be on the lookout for volunteer members responding to calls, and emergency vehicles responding, and for emergency management / civil defense notifications. It is also used as a signal to start the annual Christmas parade. We are confident we can come to a solution that continues to provide public safety notification and satisfies many of the concerns voiced. We sincerely apologize for any miscommunication regarding this matter. We will correspond with the town regarding the sirens after the next meeting on August 11th, 2014. Thank you for your consideration and understanding. Now, since receiving that letter today, I've written this letter that I'm asking for the council's support. It's addressed to Mr. Fred Webster, Director of Worcester County Emergency Services. in Stone Hill. This is, "Dear Mr. Webster, the mayor and council of the town of Berlin fully support and the recommended changes in the operation of the fire sirens in Berlin as requested by the chiefs of the Berlin Fire Company in an email to you dated July 17, 2014. This afternoon, Laura Allen, Berlin town administrator, received a letter from David A. Fitzgerald, president of the Berlin Fire Company, informing the town that the Berlin Fire Company is investigating many options regarding the operation of the fire sirens. Fitzgerald said in his letter, the fire sirens will review the issues regarding the fire sirens at the BFC's next regularly scheduled meeting on August 11th. We wish to reiterate Berlin Mayor and Council's full support for limiting the operation of Berlin Fire Company fire sirens to between the hours of 7 a.m. To 10 p.m. daily. Thank you for your consideration." We do have a type of so that is everything that I think we know and has happened since the last council meeting, and with fire company, in the second paragraph, I need to change fire sirens to fire company. Can I have the council supported in signing and sending that letter to Mr. West?
Sure.
I think it would be nice to have a motion. That way, it's on the record.
I make a motion that we support the letter that the mayor has addressed to the Worcester County Emergency Services.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Thank you very much. And I think we're all anxiously, we'll wait. Obviously, it'll probably be in the later part of August before we'll have a chance to be able to report whatever the Berlin Fire Company reports to us and recommends for the fire site.
Can you tell me where it's currently located?
There was one on the roof right here. Next is number four on our agenda is a request for a deferral of EDU fees for property located on US 50 and Maryland 452.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
Mayor, members of the council, fine, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this evening. In my letter that I wrote to you all on July 7th, I represent Mr. and Mrs. Steve Black, who own the property at the northwest corner of the intersection of Friendship Road and Route 50, which is contiguous to the corporate limits of Berlin by virtue of your annexation of the roadbed of Route 50 when you annexed the Stephen Decatur High School properties back in, I think it was 1998. So we meet the requirement of contiguity to the town with respect to moving forward to request consideration of an annexation. But our proposed use of the property includes a Royal Farms store, and I've given you all a rendering of the facility that is intended to be there. And therefore, I'm asking your consideration on behalf of the property owners and Royal Farms, really, to consider allowing us to pay over time for the EDUs. We envision we're going to need 4 or 5 EDUs, and we will proceed to move forward with an annexation agreement, but Royal Farms has asked as a prerequisite to get some assurance that they would not have to pay for all the EDUs in one fell swoop. Now, I've talked with Ms. Kreider, and she and I have a meeting of the minds. We understand that we will have to cause the extension of the sewer and water lines under Route 50 to get to our property, She's been very helpful, by the way, in suggesting the location, potential location of a lift station and all this kind of stuff. So we would ask your consideration to allow us to pay those EDUs over the most extended period, which is you're comfortable with, and Ms. Crater advises me that in the past that's been a 5-year period.
Yes, sir.
So that's our request.
And quite frankly, these plans, they look great. It looks like I think this is a natural extension of the commercial development the town is going through, and the next the downtown will, I think, develop and basically change in a very massaged kind of way. I don't think downtown, we don't want downtown to be different. We obviously want cities that are compatible and so forth. But we have a lot of good commercial land on all of our gateways, US 50, US 113, and Maryland 346. That I think have offer a lot of potential for a lot of different kinds of businesses. The 5-year, personally, that's what we've done in other cases, is extend up to 5 years. A couple of people, believe it or not, a few people said no, they may want 2 or 3, whatever the situation. But I'm hopeful that the council will be fully supported, because the reason we did that, the premise of allowing the EDUs to be, we call it financed over 5 years, is because we understand that developers have, regardless of what they're building, have so much upfront costs and so much more permitting and so much more regulations to meet, and all that means money. It all transfers, translates eventually to money, and we're just trying to make it more feasible and affordable. So I hope the council will support your request.
I do too, thank you.
How much money?
4 or 5 EDUs, how much?
Yes.
$17,000.
Roughly $17,000 times 4. Is there somewhere in that ordinance where there's a 10% deposit?
Yes, that's at the time of the building permit. When the building simultaneously with application for building permit, then the EDU deposit is required.
And then even if you stretch out the payment, they still have to present a check for the $10,000 at the time of the issuance of the permit.
Right.
$10,000 or 10%.
10%.
10%.
And that came apart as, remember we had that series of discussions about 4 years ago when we brought in, when we invited a lot of the stakeholders who were involved, regardless of the property owners, developers, whatever. And that was a suggestion that literally came from the stakeholders because they felt that it was fair. And at the same time, it's kind of like a deal with CO to win some money is
sure.
Exchanged.
And we understand that.
What's your time frame for this? I mean, am I going to be able to get my chicken in a year's time?
Well, we certainly hope.
Good project.
We certainly hope it's going to be sooner than that. Mr. Bendler asked me the same question earlier tonight. What your procedure, of course, is that I will submit a letter of petition for annexation, setting forth our requested conditions of annexation, and then Mr. Gaskell will advise you, and you all will determine whether or not that's satisfactory. If it is, you then vote to hold a public hearing. The annexation is voted at a public hearing, and then the law says that you all wait 45 days. Well, not you all. The law says there is a 45-day period for public comment, and then thereafter the annexation is finalized. This will be actually short-circuited somewhat because our zoning is already commercial in the county. So we don't have that normal situation where the county commissioners have to be agreeable to the rezoning that is being requested. We're already zoned appropriately for it. So that period, all we do is notify Mr. Tudor down at the county that we are asking for the same commercial zoning as is in the county, and they sign off on it. So we're hoping it's going to be well ahead of a year.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Before I vote on something, I'm confused.
Yes.
What's going to happen to Arby's?
Well, Arby's is going to move over here.
Oh, that's going
to go. Yes, sir. Yeah, and mine is larger than yours. That does say Arby's on it. The Royal Farms will occupy the corner where Arby's is now. Arby's moves over here.
I thought you were trying to put in that little parking lot.
No. We're not switching out businesses.
Yeah. And of course, Mr. Black is not only the owner of the property, he is a franchisee of Arby's, so he's good with it.
Now, are there gas pumps involved here?
Yes. Those are what is indicated in the front. Yeah, and yours may not be as well. They're not as clear as mine, because mine's blown out, but they're right in the front. And the rendering that you have is the intended location. It's what it's going to look like, and you can see the gas in front.
Mayor, Mr. Engelbert has a question of the applicant.
Did you have any
questions? Yeah, I have one question, and maybe it's really for Mr. Gaskell. Is you're going to grant the deferral of the EDUs, and the intent is for Royal Farms to use that. Now, my understanding is that those EDU agreements are not transferable.
That's right.
Yeah. So
they can't be sold to another.
That's just a consideration that hasn't been mentioned here.
That's right.
And the letter from Mr. Moore states that it's a purchase / lease agreement. I don't know how, maybe Mr. Gaskell can clear that up, but that's something that concerns me.
Well, the EDUs, if they are reserved for the use of the property the way it is described in the building permit, then we're stuck with it. So we're in for the long haul, obviously. You can imagine if that rendering comes a fact, then we're not going to transfer it to somebody else.
Between Mr. Black and Royal Farms.
I beg your pardon?
Between Mr. Black and Royal Farms, because my understanding, it would not be Mr. Black pulling the permits for the new construction. It would be Royal Farms.
That is correct.
Well, if the council decides to grant the request, I would suggest that in the motion that we make clear that the request is granted on behalf of Royal Farms.
My understanding is to go to the property. Whoever owns the property, however they switch it up, whatever it is, go to the property.
I'm guessing the issue Dave is raising that perhaps you wouldn't want to grant it if it's not going to be a Royal Farms.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what the intent is.
Is that what you're
saying? Is that we're approving that particular project, and in this case, and
yeah, I don't want pizza, I want chicken.
Yeah, right. I think in any reasonably responsible community nowadays, you don't just give a carte blanche
No.
Come back later and say, oh, gosh, we decided to put a merry-go-round there.
We understand that the quid pro quo for this, as Jane says, when the building permit is issued, that's when this agreement becomes self-operating, and the building permit obviously is going to be issued for a project that is in much more detail than just a rendering. It's going to be a building permit that's issued so that we can build what we say we're going to. So that's not a problem. We understand that.
Okay, good. That's one thing. That's why we want to make sure there's no misunderstandings now. Saves a lot of time later.
We're not going to take our 5-year deferral and peddle it somewhere.
Yeah.
Or try.
Those were the days.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
So do we have a motion?
Well, I'll make a motion. If you're annexed,
yes.
Then I'll make a motion we grant the 5-year deferral of EDU fees based on whatever change criteria is, 4 or 5, however many, after building plans are submitted, that their 5-year deferral is granted.
Okay, we have a motion by Council Member Purnell to grant the deferral EDU fees over a 5-year period, assuming that the property is duly annexed by the town and that the use of the property is as it's been presented tonight. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Congratulations. We'll look forward to seeing you all soon.
Thank you, and we'll shortly be back with a proposed annexation.
Great. Thank you. Sure. Okay, next is item five, is public hearing, and this is for the ordinance that was, did we just introduce this just a few weeks ago? Or, seems like a lot longer. Anyway, this is an ordinance that deals with the peddling, soliciting, or distributing of prepared foods in the town of Berlin. Primarily what we're talking about here is mobile units. That, I'll use a plaque as an example of the ice cream. Okay? So, and the number of ordinance is 2014-4. Now, formally open the public hearing for ordinance 2014-4. Does anyone here from the state wish to make any comments? Does anyone here from Worcester County wish to make any comments? Does anyone who's in attendance tonight at the meeting wish to make any comments regarding this proposed ordinance? Seeing no comments forthcoming, the public hearing is closed. And David, I understand now that the council can, if they choose to do so, may proceed with introducing and voting on the order.
That's correct.
Does anybody have any questions for David? Or
my question was, I saw the email that you sent today about the ice cream. Is the purpose of this to keep the ice cream truck out of town?
Actually, if you read, you know, we're only amending this to add paragraph 9. If you read through the first 8, I question whether an ice cream truck was allowed in town.
So if ice cream truck wants to come to town, they've got to come sit down here. Can I please have permission to go to the neighborhood? You can say yes or no, put conditions on it, and send them on their way.
Yeah. You know, when this issue came up, I actually voiced the concern that we didn't need to do this because I thought what was already in the ordinance would have covered the concern of food trucks rolling into town at lunchtime and setting up on the corner. But
there were no people to sell it to, so it wasn't an issue for a long time. So, you know, it's coincidental, you know, those things, the time changes.
Yeah. I wasn't aware, but, you know, I don't live in town, so I don't know what time the ice cream truck or the snowball truck comes, if at all. But
We would say that the ice cream truck currently does have a permit and is selling ice cream as we speak.
And they got the permit from you?
Of course.
And what did they pay for it?
They paid for the actual permit.
Yeah, and how much was that?
$25, 30 days. It's so $5
for 1 day.
If they're
going to be here all summer, it's $100.
If they are continuous, correct, could be up to $100.
Is that the ice cream truck that is in service now that goes to the neighborhood?
Again, I've only ever seen the one.
I've never seen it. I've only heard it.
Are we talking about like a Good Humor truck?
See, but under paragraph 6.
Same thing that comes in Ocean City and comes up to the side streets up to the boardwalk. Right.
But under paragraph 6, you're not supposed to hear it.
And the thing is, they actually came to the council, and the council said they are not allowed to continuously ring it, and they gave the exception. Again, the ice cream trucks did come before the council. Again, we have to go ahead and remember a little bit of history.
Sure. And so it's been some time. I don't remember it.
Well, again, the whole question was about the ringing, and they said they are allowed to ring it as long as it is not constantly ringing the whole time. Once they go ahead and stop, we turn the bells off. When they leave one neighborhood, going to another neighborhood, but not just to drive with it going on continuously.
Have you had any complaints? Let me ask you that. Have you had any complaints?
The only complaints we had, when we had two ice cream trucks and one other running, and, you know, but none from the community whatsoever. And the complaints are, does this other person have a permit to go ahead and do it? And they actually have all of their permits and licenses from the county.
But don't they also have to then get a permit from the town?
They have the town. That's what I'm saying, yes.
Do they? Is it displayed? Or you don't know?
and again, they have to have it upon request of being displayed. So, again, they either would make contact with Lieutenant Fisher. He would go ahead and make the card, laminate it, give it to a person. That's the same card he would go ahead and give to the state person that goes ahead and sells steaks. We make an exception for Swan because it's direct to people that they deliver to. So again, if you're the UpSky making delivery straight to you, you don't need to have a permit. If you're actually soliciting and knocking, going to door,
with the Swan truck, you can't knock on the truck and say, I want so-and-so.
You can, but again, it's established that they are not going around ringing a bell and going door-to-door.
Well, what happens if I do this and don't have a permit?
Well, police go ahead and stop you and advise you can't go ahead and do it. Then you go on your way, you do it again, and we can go ahead and give you a citation.
20 years ago, I operated a good humor truck in Berlin for 3 years without a permit.
Lock him up
now. Yeah. Thank God for the statute of limitations.
The only way you would know is if somebody complained.
Right.
Yeah.
And what generally happens is we have the guys that are actually there selling magazines or things going to people's doors, and we've already there educated a lot of people in the community that, hey, if they don't have a permit, and they would ask that question, or they'll call up and ask if they're allowed to go ahead and sell certain items or things. And that's how we're...
The community, we all have to work together to make these things work. I mean, yep. Let's face it. It's not, it can't be only the police paying attention to the law.
I think the reason why we're talking about people setting things up downtown, and that was what the intent initially was, and not talking about someone riding around with an ice cream truck or, selling the magazines at the doors.
What this is in response to is a perceived market, and maybe it's here, maybe it's not, but anybody who has a good vision can see that there's a lot more people on the street than there ever been before, so it's something, it might become an idea in someone's head, and that's why we're doing it now. So we can be ahead of ahead of any attempt to do this rather than be caught. With no forethought or anything.
Okay. I mean, it's clearly not fair to your established merchants who are paying taxes, paying rent, paying God knows
license
what
fees
else.
And yeah.
Right. But the question comes back.
To have a competitor not doing this.
Yeah. Correct. And then we come back, and the question is, the Little League at Food Line, is that what you're actually targeting? Are you targeting an ice cream truck? Or are you targeting someone trying to set up downtown? Businesses, kiosks, off of side streets. This addresses only public streets and ways. If we talk about someone setting up the same thing in a parking lot they own, are they allowed to do it? So those are the things that
this way. I do not want to get into business, you barely get into business of monitoring and regulating let's give an example. Both Legions do a wonderful job with chicken barbecue.
Correct.
I hope they sell more chicken barbecue than ever in the future. But it's on their property, it's for their benefit. And it's a service to the public, and we're not in that business. We're trying to talk about commercial enterprises and protecting the businesses that have to meet so many other standards and do support this town financially. So that's we'll make sure everybody understands what we're talking about.
Don't shut down the lemonade stand.
Well, that's my point. I'm saying the lemonade stand, the Little League, we've actually been a Food Line for I don't know how long, and they come and get their permits.
Yeah,
and again, I think that they should still be able to.
Absolutely.
And if we look at this document, the question is it covering that?
Well, I think answered the question. That is not.
Let's not go out looking for trouble.
No. But you know what we're trying to prevent, and you have the experience and judgment to make sure that the ordinance is properly executed. I believe that. All right? Now we need is an ordinance. Does anybody wish to introduce it? Vote up or down?
I make a motion we adopt ordinance 2014-4 and amended.
I have a motion by Councilmember Purnell to adopt ordinance 2014-4 as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Next is our departmental reports. First is Finance Director Natalie Soleil.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Yeah, I have a couple of pictures for you. finished our remodeling project downstairs. And this is some pictures we've taken before we started our facelift project downstairs.
This is the before picture?
Yes, customer service area. So we're moving forward. That's the old paint on the wall. And kind of, that's our new cabinets that David Port cabinetry person worked on it really hard. It turned to be a really nice end product. So the advertisement stands where we used to have those wooden on-leg standing stands been replaced with the new, more modern plastic or heavy plastic quality that hanging on the wall that look more appealing and actually have more room for people to put.
Okay, we have more slots.
Yes, more slots out there. And this is the final look of our Christmas service area again.
Major improvements.
So everybody is satisfied and thank you very much for your support.
The next time you will have new carpet to show us.
Yes. Actually, Jeff has a sample today with us what's going to be on.
If you don't mind, just pick right one up so we can just to take a look. Obviously, we wanted you all to make that choice. Please listen.
This is the big swatch is what's being installed in town hall with your all's approval. And then the back small swatch is what's being installed in the planning building. And if anyone wants a 4x4 cut,
yeah, as a souvenir. Maybe
So meanwhile, we're still kind of meeting and bringing new vendors for the new software. Today we have what I call as a final software representative on the list. After that, we won't be seeing any demos or presentations. We will be working closely with Jacob White representative, who will be offering their professional services to make the process smoother. Council member Paul Lynch was present today at presentation of the software, and I think, in my opinion, it was very useful and helpful to see all the aspects. Auditors come in the 30th and 31st for the preliminary work, and we're just getting ready, basically working heavily to get all the reports and everything done before they're ready.
So they'll be here at the end of the week.
Yes. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Excellent. And again, I think there would be, it's a much more pleasant place when you walk in as a member of the public.
Yes.
Regardless of which entrance you make, it's just nice. It just looks like a more professional setting.
Thank you.
And that will hopefully get you some professional software to match. Next is Deputy Town Administrator Mary Bolden.
Just a couple of things this evening. Several weeks ago, we went live with the new website. And immediately found some glitches. Some of those glitches are still being worked on, but the information that is on the site is accurate, with the exception of maybe one outdated item in the Human Resources Department that we're still working to solve. The other item that I have this evening is that the various dates and deadlines for the upcoming October election have been published on the website and on the public access channel. I did not bring a copy of them with me this evening, but they are out there for public information.
Excellent. Yeah, that gives me more notice than we've ever given. Great. Excellent. Thank you. Dex is Water Resources Director and Public Works Director Jane Kreider.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We're out reading meters. Also, if you see the trash cans on Main Street and downtown area disappearing, we're gathering them all up and getting them a thorough washing and hopefully refreshing them up. They've had a lot of use this past year and are in need of being cleaned. We're getting preparing an RFP for the East Branch Street sidewalk design. That should be going out in the paper in the next couple weeks. And I've been working with Mary on some bleachers at Henry Park near the basketball courts.
And what is that about the bleachers? I did miss the first few words.
I said I've been working with Mary. We're going to have, there's some grant money available for bleachers at Henry Park.
We still have the remainder of the grant that we used to actually refurbish the courts. We still have some money left over, so we're going to hopefully purchase some bleachers and benches with left over there.
With tournaments, it seems like we're having at least one, sometimes multiple basketball tournaments here. That's a guy replacement. Another interesting thing that learning curve is to find out what goes into maintaining bleachers of a basketball tournament. Okay, good. Thank you very much. Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Roberts.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. We installed 9 locations of 23 inline disconnects. We also, Tuesday, the 22nd, we had a scheduled power outage at Berlin Intermediate School to replace the pole that feeds the school. Verizon worked with us together on that because their facilities were there. The outage was from 8 o'clock to 1:30 in the afternoon, and everything went perfect. We also peak shaved again. We ran our generators on Tuesday, same day, July 22nd, from 3 o'clock p.m. until 6:10 p.m. All the engines ran fine. They did perfect. Also, we installed the 2 of the small smart wall panels. One of them is installed at the intersection of Flower Street and Aspen Road. And then the other one is installed in a new location on Lee Street and Grand Avenue.
Right there by the side entrance to Berlin.
Yes.
They both look nice.
Yeah, we installed a new span guide across there to set the banner. I think that's the first time we've ever had a banner there. Yeah. And it worked out perfect.
Well, we've got so much to promote. I guess it was inevitable that you'd have to come up with some additional spots so that we don't have to constantly be taking them up and down.
That's correct. We also, over the past month or two, we've been meeting with AMI vendors concerning the water and electric. And today we had a meeting, and out of the 6 vendors that we've met with, we're going to take a look at 3 to 4 of them. We're actually going to go tour some of the sites that they have their systems installed on, get a better idea of how it operates and that type of thing. And then we had a meeting this week.
Great. Excellent. Thank you. Next, Police Chief Arnold Downey.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to first go ahead and understate that the Berlin Police Department received an honorable mention from the Merlin Highway Safety Office for departments our size 11 to 25 for the law enforcement challenge, which emphasized on 4 different areas. They were impaired driving, occupant protection, speeding, and state and local traffic issues. Princess Anne came in number 1, and with that, it was a $5,000 award. $4,000 went to them, and we're going to get a grant for $1,000 for that. And kudos goes to PFC Collins for spearheading that whole effort. That's the different initiatives throughout the year that we've been putting on with the high school, with Ocean City as a partner, and the different things at school to go ahead and promote, plus the different scheduled traffic enforcement type of events. We also are proud to go ahead and say she is now certified in PFC Collins to administer Lox-X for heroin overdoses. This year we actually had 2 heroin overdoses that we arrived with the fire department, so we feel this is going to be a plus. She's going to be able to come back as an instructor, evaluate the situation, and see if we can go ahead and train, or if we need to go ahead and train any other officers within the department. Also like to go ahead and state that the bathtub races went off without any problems. We had 2 officers actually up there working that event, and we're pleased to say no one was injured or hurt in that event, and it was definitely one of the most well-attended bathtub races that we've ever had. Other than that, on the POs, we're going to be asking for the Tahoes this evening. And we want to just go ahead and make a special note to let you know that we are actually down 2 vehicles as we speak right now because of transmissions.
We had one go down earlier in this year and one in the last 45 days. So we're actually, they're short on the vehicles themselves, and we knew that we were going to come to this point in this year to go ahead, and we held off from buying them last year. So with that said, we have $119,000 roughly budgeted for the vehicles themselves and the equipment. We're proposing us to, again, go to Joe Basil. And the reason is, number one, we go with the Tahoes. We definitely see the Sheriff's Department, Pocomoke, and other agencies that are moving to it. They actually work. Ocean City up there has those. And we've found with the different weather events, we've been put at a disadvantage, and we've actually lost one vehicle in the flood so far. The cost for a vehicle, a car, a Chevy Caprice is $27. The cost of the Tahoe is $28. We feel that getting these vehicles now is going to be a plus. If we hold off and wait, we might have to pay $1,000 more for the 2015 models. Also, with the 2015 models, we might have to wait up to 90 days. If we go ahead and get the okay this evening, it's still going to go ahead and take us approximately 1 month to go ahead and get those vehicles online. We did put in for a $50,000 grant. We have not been awarded. And conversations with the USDA, it's a possibility that we will not go ahead and receive that $50,000 to augment that cost, but we other feel that we can still go ahead and do it within our budget. And again, their reasoning, they have looked at the auditor's report and they said $6.9 million undesignated, and that is the possible reason that we do not get the $50,000.
We're not considering the poor folk. Right.
Right.
We don't want to be, but we want to find a balance between having too much and too little.
And again, from conversation with them, I think if we had just a little bit of designated, it would have made a difference. But again, we're still hoping and crossing our fingers that the $50,000 will come in. Again, we have till September for the final awards and everything, but we just feel that, number one, it's going to be in our best interest to go ahead and purchase the vehicles now. Number one, we have a need. Number two, it's going to be $1,000 more to wait. And then if we do wait beyond another 90 days, I mean, beyond this point, it could be another 90 days to go ahead and get the vehicles.
So you're saying that if you don't get the grant, you can cobble together $50,000 out of your budget to pay?
Again, we have left $53,000 on the table last year. That's just how
that's last year.
That's last year. It's $1.66 million is what the budget is. Right now, I don't have a position filled. Every quarter, that position is not filled. Again, number one is $4,500 from retirement that doesn't get paid, so start with that. I can go ahead and show up to $25,000 already that we will have available with inside of that budget. And again, I will go ahead and lay on a little bit. I don't have to go ahead and take the trip to the International Chief. We'll figure out a way because we know this is a necessity and it's a priority. So again, if you either say we have concerns about $50,000, I said don't concern yourself about $50,000. We'll fall within budget when the year ends.
So the answer is you will cobble together somehow or another.
I will. That is the end of my report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Very thorough. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Planning Department Director Dave Engelhardt.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Since we last met, the week before last, I attended a week-long training session for the Association of State Floodplain Managers, and it culminated in an exam on Friday to become a certified floodplain manager. I wish I knew I had passed it, but I don't know yet. It'll be 6 weeks. It's a difficult exam, but with a lot of worthwhile information.
Well, only tell us if you did.
I'm going to have to take it again. But it was
a
lot of worthwhile information. It was given by the Maryland Department of Environment and FEMA. And a lot of it had to do with disaster preparedness. And we have a preliminary flood insurance rate map that was just brought in this year by FEMA. All the communities, ours should be finalized, I would say, within the next 6 months. There's some things in with our floodplain ordinance. I could start working with them just to bring that up to speed with the map.
Right, yeah, that would be a perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
Gives us an incentive And the deadline.
Right, because our floodplain actually, according to them, shrank some, you know, because of better data from the last time the maps were done. And that's the case of pretty much all of Worcester County, all of the Eastern Shore, from what I understand. So, this past Wednesday, Laura Allen and I attended a meeting with Ed Tudor and Phyllis Winbrow from the county, the two heads of the planning and permitting department. And just to talk about, for the annexation agreement, the petition we've gotten for that Seahawk Road development, what their requirements might be, things we should look for to include in our annexation agreement and any development agreement, so that they would feel comfortable recommending it to the county commissioners.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was good.
Did you feel like you had a good dialogue?
Yes, I think so.
Because I mean, that's a whole intent, is that we do want to do this, and we do everything that we can to make this a, you know, a partnership effort, and hopefully set a precedent for, you know, sometime in the future when the different folks might be sitting here, but at least the procedure and the partnership will already exist.
I've had several previous conversations with them and meetings with them, but Laura had, when she attended with me, this was a little more tightening up. So there were no surprises, really, but I think the stuff that we can incorporate with what we want, what the department heads want to see, and it'll help us to, if it's going to go through smoothly.
Right, great.
Another continuing project, the Cannery Village project. 2.5 weeks ago, I got the plans, the engineers' plans for the site plan, the stormwater, the roads, and our consultants have it. EA has the stormwater management plan, we're reviewing it right now, and DBF has the engineering plan for the site plan. So
DBF is Davis Bowen and Burnell.
Davis Bowen.
There are a couple, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's just once in a while. I just want to assume everybody knows all the acronyms.
Yeah, they do our engineering review for the site plan, the roads, sidewalks, all that. So I see that project moving along. I don't know if it'll go for final site plan approval on the second Wednesday here of August. He hasn't told me yet, Mr. Hansen, but I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to move for the final site plan approval, so then we can move to permitting maybe sometime in September or October.
That'll be one.
Which would be his timetable all off. He wanted to try and get something underway here in the fall, you know, late summer.
Yeah, but before the building season, while there's building seasons.
Right, right.
So,
that's all I did.
That was great. Thank you. Next is Human Resources Director Jeff Fleetwood.
Mayor, Council, a couple things, and unfortunately or fortunately, neither of the conversations that I had has anything to do with people. One of the things that I want to bring to your attention is what's been happening at the planning building over the days and months ago. The little facelift on that, on the overhang, is being scraped and painted for about, I guess, about 70% done. I hope by the end of this week that we're done with that overhang, having it scraped and painted, to include the foyer window that's above the building. Dire need. It looks better if you take a look at it. The west and the east side is completely done. If you take a look at that and then look at the back side, you can see it's night and day. So that's being done as we speak. The carpet was passed around. Assuming that you all approve that this evening, the plan as far as installation will start this Thursday and Friday in the planning and zoning building. And then on Saturday, August the 2nd, the installers would be in this building doing the front doors we're accustomed to when you come into a town hall, through the customer services area, out the back door by the police department here. And that's going to be, once that'll be done on the weekend, and then we would use the back end here as a staging area for things to be placed when they continue through the building. All said, next week, the downstairs would be completed, and then the following week, the upstairs, to include the chamber, the conference room, the mayor's office, and Joanne, and Rondell's office would be done. The reality with that is, I mean, I don't think it's any secret, a lot of wrinkles in the carpet, so that will alleviate those wrinkles. And from my perspective, I'm glad because I think, I know it eliminates a number of trip hazards. Number two, the aesthetics of it, It's going to give this place a whole different look, and you can see, you know, what it's going to be. I'm colorblind as a bat, but I know that's a lighter carpet. So what that does to this, it's going to give it more light. And the reality is, with the folks that work at Town Hall, I think I'll go on vacation for the next 2 weeks because tensions are going to get tight. I know that, but the reality is it's a forced cleaning. The installers have been, thus far, no work has been done, but verbally they've shared that they will move all the furniture. All that we have to do as the employee group is anything that's movable on top of a movable object, we need to put those away. So the plan is that it will be done by August 15. That includes both buildings. So I'm looking forward to that being done as well. And that includes what I have.
Very good. Six.
Thanks. Is it being installed over padding?
Yes. And what's interesting...
What's going to keep it... Why is it not going to wrinkle like this has wrinkled?
This carpet that's in this building now, and it varies by room. If you go through this building, and I'm not a carpet installer, but
me neither.
And I asked the question, and this particular carpet here, each room it varies. You've got spots where it's stretched, and you've got spots where it was glued. So what that does when you glue it,
you can't stretch it
anymore. So
this will all like have a tack strip around the edge.
Yes. And again, I'm not an installer, but the terminology that they were using was a power stretcher. I have no idea what that is, but I guess I'm going to learn. So to answer your question, they did tell me that this carpet and padding that's going to be installed will not be glued. Okay. And then again, on the other side of the coin, what's here, what's kind of amazing again from room to room, some rooms the padding is actually glued and the carpet's not. Some rooms, some spots, the padding and the carpet's glued. I can't answer the question why. But I think not being an installer, the interesting thing is going to be not so much the installation, it's going to be the tearing out.
Is there some use for the old carpet in terms of Goodwill or something of that nature?
I did contact the Taylor House as one to see if they had any interest in this from a memorabilia perspective, and I was told no. I will give a call. I don't know to whom, but I'll give some thought and just give a call.
You might just as a call the Community Foundation and ask them if they have a list of nonprofits that may have a use for it. Because that's what they do all the time is work with all the nonprofits.
Because there are going to be some big pieces.
Yeah. And if we can, you know, put it to work, helping somebody else,
Diaconia
could be a possibility. But just that's my suggestion because they're the experts. And, whatever can get the greatest use for the greatest number of people, we'll be very happy.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Do you want to call up?
No, it's a little much for my garage.
And next is
I mean, there are folks that can use some of these pieces.
Absolutely. Economic and Community Development Director Michael Dang.
Thank you. Last week, Dave Englehart and I met with a couple of ladies who are moving into the merchant business downtown on 14 Broad Street. It's been empty for maybe 2 months at the most, and I'm very excited about that. It's going to be something we don't have, and it should be open September 1st, is their goal.
Where that, is 14 Broad Street?
Next to Globe.
Is it that little tiny... Yeah.
Cigar shop.
Smoking shop.
The consultants for the excursion train arrived in town today. Tomorrow they will be on the tracks with some sort of truck that runs on the tracks, and they're going to attempt to go from here to Snow Hill, see how that goes, and then Wednesday they will be here in town meeting with several people, a lunch meeting, and then a couple other meetings through the afternoon. Peach Festival is this Saturday. Sunday is the rain date, and then the following Friday is the Little Mr. and Miss Peach pageant in front of the hotel.
Great. Okay. That's all very positive news, and now I'd like to have the town administrator's report for the approval of the new purchase orders. Okay, we have one. 16.
Thank you, Council. I'm going to get started. So we have purchase order number 0245 in the amount of $19,999 to Homeworks Carpet One for carpeting the town hall. Purchase order number 0281 in the amount of $3,355.44 to Homeworks Carpet One for carpeting the planning building. Purchase order number 0274 is a blanket purchase order in the amount of $18,000 to Intercoastal Trading for hydrochloride solutions. Purchase order number 0276 is a blanket purchase order in the amount of $4,000 to EnviroCorp for treatment plant discharge. Purchase order number 0277, blanket purchase order in the amount of $10,000 to EnviroCorp for monitoring of wells required by MDE. Purchase order number 0278, blanket purchase order in the amount of $7,500 to Worcester County for sludge disposal. Purchase order number 0299 in the amount of $1,570.34 to Census for yearly renewal support program. Purchase order number 0326 in the amount of $1,800 for CUES for yearly support plan for camera truck. Purchase order number 0332 in the amount of $86,736 to Joe Base and Chevrolet for three 2014 Chevrolet Tahoes police package. Purchase order number 0338 in the amount of $40,000 to Decatur Investments for DHCD facade grant for interior conversion from warehouse to office slash retail, two bases at $20,000 each. Approved by DHCD. Purchase order number 0346 in the amount of $7,595.71 to Maryland Employment Insurance Fund for Employment Insurance. Purchase order number 0342 in the amount of $35,630.14 to Kurtz Computers for fiscal year 14 IT services. And Sam Kurtz here tonight if you have any questions. Purchase order number 0360 in the amount of $5,000 to Shore Transit for support for the Shore Transit Summer Trolley. Purchase order number 0154, blanket purchase order in the amount of $3,000 to Flag Publications for Main Street Promotions. Purchase order number 0154, blanket purchase order in the amount of $3,000 to Affordable Business Systems for the monthly base rates and color charges for downstairs copier at Town Hall. And purchase order number 0381 in the amount of $1,000 to Berlin Little League for donation. That concludes my report.
And I'd just like to comment that I requested, and I hope everybody got the email today, I requested that the purchase order for the Burlington League be added, given that they, the intermediate team won the Eastern Regional Championship last Friday and left Sunday morning for California. And then the first game is tomorrow, I believe at 11 o'clock Pacific time. And that if they are fortunate enough to win the whole thing, they would be there for a full week. We'll just see. There's a, at this point, there are five, they are one of five Little League teams from the United States, and then there are also five qualified teams from the rest of the world. So that's, they're in the top ten. And I wanted to be aware that also, the good news I had out today, I obviously wanted to talk this morning, planning the president of the Little League, and the I don't remember which day, all the days are running together here, but the 10-year-old, the 10-year-old team also won, they now are playing in the regional tournament up north somewhere. And what they did apparently a year or two ago is this money will be deposited, approved in the Berlin Little League All-Star Fund, which is at Hammer Bank, and that would be the one condition, because that fund has been set up and they successfully managed it before, and it's exclusively for expenses related to these championship things, and it's really special that we have a Little League that is nationally competitive. Not just, it wasn't just a fluke for a couple of years. This is like the third year in a row, and they seem to be doing better every year. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know what that was all about, since it wasn't in your back. So, any questions for Laura regarding any of the proposed purchase orders?
Just a question for the chief. Will these be able to be marked?
They will.
I'll make a motion.
Oh, I think since Mr. Hart's here, we might as well hear about the $35,000 we spent. What we're getting.
Well, come on, it's good. No need to be in the shadows when you get a chance.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for joining.
This is part of the proposal we talked about last fiscal year. Remember, we mentioned some items we were doing funding in FY14 and some items we were doing funding in FY15, which you have before you were the items we were doing FY15. So if you have any specific questions, Sam, sorry.
So we're buying a new server.
Yeah, and some licensing and to paying us to do a bunch
switches
of stuff.
And all that good stuff.
Yeah, we're upgrading the inner networking hardware. We're putting in new Wi-Fi here. All of the remote offices will also have Wi-Fi that connects to the town hall network. So, you know, for mobile devices, tablets, things like that down the road, you know. So.
No additional cost for your annual, your monthly maintenance fee.
Correct, yeah.
Did you know we're looking at new software?
Yes. Yeah. And the way we design things here, whatever you end up buying should work with whatever we're putting in. I just want to make sure that, you know, before you make any final decisions on that, that, you know, at least run by the candidates or at least, you know, whatever you're looking at, run it by us, we can make sure of that.
It's compatible.
Yeah, I mean, and what we're doing is scalable enough that if it does require more servers or anything like that, you won't have to buy any more hardware. We'll have the licensing and the hardware already to do that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Sam's going to be looking at the RFP before we release it so that he'll be able to give us his technical expertise in terms of the contents of that. And then we've got him as part of the team, so we'll pull him into demonstration projects.
I don't understand all this, but if it's cloud-based, then it won't be on our server.
If the software you're purchasing is cloud-based, some cloud-based applications require a client or something installed in your computers, but there may or may not be that part. But if you go with a cloud-based system, you know, your connection to the internet becomes more important than anything else at that point, you know. So.
So are we there? I mean, we're not going to have to do this again next year.
5 years from now.
5 years.
Yeah, every 5 years. Okay. Yeah. Yep, we did this before in 2009, so that summer. So.
So you've been working with the town.
5 years now. Yep.
Great.
Is there any other questions for Mr. Card?
Motion to approve all 16 purchase orders.
Okay, we have a motion to approve all 16 purchase orders as proposed by the town administrator. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, I'd just like to say to Jane and her staff, you did a real good job on the retaining wall at Henry Park. It looks good. It really looks good.
Thank you very much.
I think it will last a while. The concrete and the brick, it really looks good to me.
I bet you we had 25, 30 people stop by and say how much that they appreciated it, and that it really looked nice. And, so that's always nice too, getting the public's input.
And input in IT too, it's another way for us on behalf of the citizens to express pride. You know, if we take care of the public property that we're responsible for, I feel that citizens naturally take good property for personal property. You can just see it over the years. It hasn't happened overnight, but it is. I wish we'd taken pictures 27 years ago. Everywhere. And there's just a very few places left that need some tweaking, some spiffing up.
What progress have we made with replacing the bushes on the sidewalk?
I can actually address that a little bit. Unfortunately, we didn't get to it as quickly as we might have, and it is now the wrong time to plant anything new. But I have been in touch with the master gardener, and she is going to make some recommendations to move forward when it is appropriate to plant some new stuff.
Would that be in the fall?
Yes.
It will be in the fall that we have these recommendations?
That the plants will be...
That we'll be able to plant in the fall. Okay. I just don't have a recommendation at the moment, but we should be able to move forward with actually planting in the fall.
Okay.
We'll take them out now if you want. They're really unsightly. So we'll go ahead and take them out, and then we'll...
James Department again. I don't know what happened. I don't even know what happened. But for recycling on Fly Street, that's something like on that end where I live, it's only like four of us, I think, that recycled. We got missed somehow. And one of the neighbors that recycled called City Hall before I did, and I called, and two of the workers from your department came out with the trash bags and took care of the recycling. Whatever happened, it got.
They did deal with it though. That's
yeah. They got it done.
Okay.
And
sometimes I mean we're having when they switch to the earlier times, a lot of people don't. If it's their first stop at 6:00 a.m. And some people don't put them out until the morning. I don't know if that was the situation or they just got distracted. No,
it was put out overnight. They just missed it somehow. Yeah. It got taken care of, so that's the way you do it. Everybody was happy.
Good, I'm glad it was.
Yeah. I thought the tree that came down here on Main Street, tremendous improvement, but that's really worked out well. I'm always amazed at how clean our streets are. People do a great job. Mm-hmm. Now we've got a lot of grass growing through sidewalks and in the...
They were out in force today, working on that. The crews were out in force today, working on that.
Good.
Yeah, James sent me an email about the trash cans and the grass. And are you working on both the curb cuts that where the asphalt meets the curb, and also the curb where the curb meets the sidewalk?
Anywhere where there's vegetation.
Where there's green.
Now, let me ask this. Is the attempt to basically remove them by ripping them out or what?
We're doing both.
Okay.
Roundup, aren't you?
Yes, but then it still leaves an ugly brown dead thing there. So we're trying to pull them, but then it's still sprayed to kill the roots.
Okay. But like I say, I think you know what we're after. We're just, and if we do it now, we may have to do it another reconnaissance in force in the fall.
Sure.
Because everything starts growing again. But I do think it's worthwhile. And if the streets weren't so clean,
then the gutters weren't so clean, you wouldn't see it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, your Roundup is not the Roundup you buy in the store. Because it was green one day and brown the next.
Maybe they don't die.
Yeah.
Well, I heard you talk about the sidewalk on East Branch, but how about the sidewalk on Tripoli? What's happening?
That was my next one.
Yeah. I'm waiting for two rights of entry from two individuals. And one, they signed it. It was all taken care of. But then the wife didn't sign it. So I've been trying to get a hold of them. And then the one individual is just very difficult to get a hold of. I've left messages.
Are both these people residing in the town?
Yeah. Yes.
David, do you have any advice or anything about how we can? Because this is the kind of thing that is very frustrating when we have something that the entire town wants, and we have one or two people.
I just hate to see start again, and these kids walking down.
This is something that was planned, and
I'll get with Jane.
Yeah, get with Jane and see if you can't find a way to create some constructive, but polite. But firm encouragement. Okay?
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you. And I got one thing for Dave. I'm always on these houses. 214 Broad Street, it's not great, but it's a big improvement. There's a house on Washington Street, don't know the address, it's on the south side, that pink house in the 200 block. It looks like crap. So there's something that can be done about that.
I'll take a look.
Thank you.
You know, I haven't got a complaint about that.
I
appreciate you bringing it up. I recently got a complaint. I was uptown, walking
the sidewalk. Oh, I know the house.
Okay.
Same owner.
Yeah. Thank you.
And his explosion is coming because we sent him, you and Mrs. Hall had talked to us about that property outside of one of our meetings, and he got a letter, and he's coming up. He has a few days left of it. I gave him 15 days to comply. From what I know is, as Carolyn in my office says, his MO is to wait to the last day and then come in and wreak havoc. And I've managed to have a good relationship with him so far on these properties. Things get done slowly, but instead of having a restraining order like my predecessor had to have, I've been asking him, help me to help you, so I don't have to write you violations all the time and fine you, and let's keep going the right way. And that's worked, but now he's falling back again, and so I know exactly what you have. So,
okay, thank you.
Do we have any comments from anyone who in attendance here, which is also the press? So we kill two birds with one stone. Okay, very good. Outstanding adjournment. Again, thank you all. And thank you all for all you're doing every day.
Hey, Dave.